everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, welcome to the program, and we welcome all our listeners. It's Wednesday, September 27th, 2023. The calendar shows, yes, we're now into early autumn, but summer just does not want to relinquish its terrible hold on us this year. 104 yesterday, I believe, was a record. And then we're looking at maybe the same today. And then the dust and the winds kick in this weekend. And then the good news out of that, maybe some cooler air behind it.
We got near the end of September, and it's still 100 degrees out there, blues.
Yeah, I can remember some years where it went into early October. I hope that will not be the case this year. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on the campus of Bustos Media here in Tucson. Bustos Media has 5 stations under one roof right now. One of them is our station, 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's trusted voice for news, live, local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. That means you can listen to the program live anywhere that you can hook up with the computer, and then better yet, or better still, I should say, at buckmastershow.com, we have podcasts going back to our first week of our radio project, which was January of 2011. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will Humble is the Buckmaster Show public health contributor. He's one of 24 folks we are so honored to have as regulars on this program. Will is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. His 30 years in public health included more than 2 decades with the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various capacities, including the agency director from 2009 to 2015. Will, how are you, sir?
Doing just fine, Bill. Hanging out. I'm actually outside in the shade today.
You're in the shade. You're in the shade, and it's still probably up in Phoenix today. It's probably going to be about 105.
Hot. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel that bad, though. I got my heat coolers on in the house. Feels great.
So trying to get an agency director confirmed these days has been a real challenge, and Governor Hobbs has really struggled with this legislature trying to move some people into executive positions on our cabinet. Is this going to be the new normal, Will Humble?
Well, I think we're going to find out. I mean, so for listeners that haven't heard, you know, as you mentioned, Governor Hobbs has had a really hard time, almost impossible time, getting her picks in for agency directors because of this new committee in the Senate called the Committee on Director Nominations, who both is not hearing many of the appointees at all, and in many cases giving them, in my opinion, unfair hearings like Dr. Cullen had. But now the governor has said, okay, if you're not going to give my appointees a fair shake, I'm going to do an end around and use some statutory loopholes and appoint these directors and call them executive deputy directors. So I'm making up a new title. That title does not require Senate confirmation. So to put a bow on this discussion, I think the answer to your question is be found in the courts, because the next time one of these agencies makes a decision that somebody doesn't like, let's say a certificate of necessity, for an ambulance contract or something like that, the person who loses can say, that person who made the decision at that agency didn't have the authority to make that decision, and therefore it's moot. So ultimately the courts are going to decide, you know, judges are going to end up deciding whether these agency decisions are legit or not, given the move that she made this week.
Do you get a one-year grace period as governor on these positions?
Yes and no. There's no single answer to that question. Once your name is sent to the Senate, then that person has 1 year with which to be appointed or not appointed. But time clock starts when the name gets sent to the Senate. So take, for example, during the previous administration under Governor Ducey, when Director Crist left for Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the deputies over there is named Don Harrington. He was put in as interim director in August of 2021. Governor Ducey never sent his name to the Senate, never nominated him to the position, and he stayed there for 18 months until New Year's Eve, right before Governor Hobbs came in. So there's an example of someone who was there more than a year and a half, despite the quote-unquote one-year clock, because I guess you could say the hourglass never started on him. So there's some – you can drive a truck through the statute, and we're going to find out in the next 6 months how it's going to shake out.
Will Humble is with us. Will is our contributor on public health. There are a lot of issues to unpack in our time, in our monthly visit with Will, including what looks like now imminent, the federal government will shut down. And I'm wondering, Will, and I think some of our listeners are as well, are there public health implications to this decision?
I was wondering if there would be public health implications as of yesterday, and the biggest one that's at the most risk under these on these federal shutdowns is a program called Women, Infant, and Children, or most frequently called WIC. It's a public health program, nutrition assistance, and other services for families with kids under 5 years old. Generally, that is the program that is at biggest risk for discontinuing when there's a federal shutdown. And in some states, I think their WIC programs are going to stop probably on Tuesday or Wednesday next week. I just heard from our state health department that they have enough leftover money from the current federal fiscal year, which ends on Saturday, to carry them for at least a couple of months in the event of a shutdown. So in terms of public health, now that that WIC question is answered, I don't think there's any huge implications. You know, the state and county health departments are still going to have their money from the previous fiscal year to operate on some of those grants. And in many cases, those are preloaded. So short answer to your question is nothing dramatic, I don't think.
Food stamps, what about that? There is a change coming on October 1st. Is that at all tied to the federal government?
No, that's a separate thing. So in terms of the shutdown, WIC or SNAP, which is food stamps, is not going to be impacted. They have enough money preloaded into SNAP to last through December 31st. So that's one thing. The second thing, which you mentioned, that did change is that a congressional action last year made some changes to the food stamp program, and it says that in certain counties, depending on the unemployment rate and other things, people between 18 and 54 who are quote-unquote able-bodied need there's some certain things that they need to demonstrate before they would get their food stamp benefit. For example, if they don't have a job, then they need to demonstrate that they've gone to job training or are enrolled in a job training program or looking for work. So for certain people, there's going to be new requirements on Monday, for the food stamp benefit. But just those adults in the middle range who are quote-unquote able-bodied. But interestingly, in our state, in Arizona, it only applies to Maricopa County.
What?
So your listeners down in Pima, I know. Because I always thought the unemployment rate in Pima County was lower. In other words, things were better in Tucson than in Maricopa County in terms of being able to find a job. But apparently when they run the algorithm, the only county that where this new requirement will apply, at least initially, is up here in Maricopa.
Are there any other public health implications? Some operate on a fiscal year beginning October 1st. That would be the federal government. But you've kind of gone over the major ones that would be impacted.
Right. And there's some people that would be on furlough at CDC and stuff like that. But, you know, that in terms of having a direct immediate impact in Arizona, that's not a huge deal. Completely different from those years when we've had threats of a state shutdown. that's happened a few times in my career. And a state shutdown has a lot more profound implications than a federal one, quite honestly, just because of the direct services that state and counties provide.
All right. When we continue with Will Humble, an update on the triad of respiratory illness vaccines out there right now. We're going to hear from Will about some of his thoughts on the new COVID shot, the RSV shot, and the influenza vaccination, and who should be getting these shots. But right now I want to talk about who should be going up to my favorite bakery. And I think that's just about everybody. And go up to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. What a beautiful variety of pastries they have. And they do a really nice lunch as well. And perhaps you're in the area of Swan and Sunrise and you are hungry, you're ready for lunch. Why don't you give Mona's a try? They've got a great luncheon menu as well. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We love Steve and his team of bakers up there. And they always prepare beautiful, not only pastries, but they got some great sandwiches for your luncheon today or maybe tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition. Will Humble will continue with Will talking public health and some information that could be very helpful for you as you decide whether or not to get these three shots that are out there. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster at the helm. as we work our way through the midday portion of our day and the midweek portion of the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we are honored to have Will Humble talking about public health. This is something Will feels very strongly about. He's devoted his whole business and adult life to public health. His former, on his resume, he's the former director of the Arizona Department of Health, and he's very much involved still with health as he is heading up the organization, the Arizona Public Health Association. He's very active on Twitter, and he has a blog. I think, Will, you try to post three times a week on the blog, right?
Yeah, during legislative session, it's pretty much every day, but this time of year, it's about three times a week.
And just Google Will Humble blog, and that usually will bring it up.
Yep.
All right. So here we are, the triad of respiratory illnesses and the coinciding vaccines to these illnesses. Now, I've checked off one of the boxes with the flu shot a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm going to do the COVID on a Friday because all previous COVID shots that I've had, and it doesn't matter whether it's Moderna or Pfizer, and I've had both, I do have some kind of a little reaction, kind of sometimes a little kind of feverish. So I book that on a Friday, and then I have a Saturday where I don't have anything scheduled. But I noticed that when I went to CVS, to their website, Will, they don't have very limited vaccine available, whether Moderna or Pfizer. So I checked out Walgreens, and they've got, depending on the store, both. So there is some kind of a supply thing going on, Will.
Definitely a supply thing, and there's also some issues with some of the health plans, the health insurance plans. For example, Blue Cross Blue Shield was in disarray up until today, I think, or at least they promised they're going to fix it today, where people were putting in claims and getting paid 2 cents for the vaccine instead of $130. But I guess they're working on that piece of it. So there's some hiccups with the insurance plan. And then, as you mentioned, different pharmacies order different amounts, and they may or may not have what people want. I booked CVS for tomorrow. So 11:30 tomorrow is when I'm getting the new shot for me. I didn't schedule influenza yet. I'm probably going to do that in mid-October, and then we'll get to this probably, but then I'm going to get an RSV shot if I qualify. And so do you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the flu. I did that as a walk-in at CVS. That was very easy. How are you feeling today? Blah, blah, blah. Let's see your insurance.
Yeah.
With COVID, I did some stuff online before the appointment that I have Friday. But I do want to get into RSV. Now, there was some question, again, going back, I think, to Blue Cross, whether or not they were going to pay for the $300 for the shot. Do you know if that little hiccup has been ironed out?
Well, they have to. And that's the bottom line. Once the Affordable Care Act, once the FDA approves a vaccine and CDC recommends it and puts it on the schedule, that plans have to pay for it. So now, there could be some issues why have their claims are messed up or something like that, but they can't say no. They may not want to say yes, but they're going to have to say yes to it because the Affordable Care Act requires that coverage once CDC and FDA are on a vaccine like that.
Well, we know what we're getting pretty much when we get a flu shot. And by the way, I understand the formula is pretty much right on this year based on Southern Hemisphere flu activity. They seem to have, a home run. Maybe they've hit a double or triple when it comes to the vaccine this year. And we pretty much know what you're going to get, I guess, with COVID. But we don't know about RSV. Tell us a little bit about what is RSV, who should be getting this shot, Will Humble?
Yeah, so RSV is a respiratory virus that's been around forever. It's not anything that's new. What's new is that there's finally a vaccine for it. So it's a virus that gets into your lungs and it creates lots of secretions. And so that makes it dangerous for getting pneumonia, because if you're unable to clear with a salt, you know, with a good cough, if you can't clear your lungs, then sometimes your lungs can end up getting a secondary pneumonia infection. So where that's the biggest issue has always been among seniors, you know, people over, say, 75, and little tiny kids that are born, you know, in the fall, because if they get RSV, they don't have a cough reflex yet, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard for them to clear their lungs, and then they can get other kinds of respiratory lung infections and stuff. So let's just deal with the vaccine for second first. So with the vaccine, people over 60 years old, and also pregnant women. For the RSV vaccine, those are the two groups for which CDC and FDA have made their recommendation. And if you've got regular health insurance, you should be able to get that shot as long as you meet one of those two criteria. Like I said, I'm going to get my RSV shot next, probably in about 2 weeks or so. So that's where we are. This, but epidemiologically, had like a blowout year last year for RSV. I mean, RSV blew the doors off. So many people got that illness last year. So I don't really expect this winter to be a huge RSV year. It'll be more of a normal year, because so many people were infected with RSV last winter that they still have some residual immunity for it. So that's the RSV vaccine. And then for little tiny kids, it's not a vaccine, but there's a new what's called monoclonal prophylactic or preventive treatment that little kids can get. And that is an actual shot that kids get. It's not a vaccine, though. It provides that kid with some antibodies to fight off RSV in case they get infected. And it'll fight it off for them before they have to have an immune response. That's just for kids 6 months and younger.
Okay, well, let's backtrack a little bit here. The respiratory, we've talked about RSV. Now, the influenza, this one's recommended for everybody, correct?
Yes. There's a shot for everybody. For seniors, you can get a concoction that has that's more powerful, I guess you could say, that elicits a more potent immune response. But the regular vaccine is just fine for seniors as well. And there's even an option now for people who have egg allergies to vaccines. That's no longer an issue under the latest guidance. So, yeah, it's for everybody.
All right, COVID shots, the last booster, which I took, a lot of people didn't. The percentages I've seen that only 15% of Americans that were eligible actually took that last booster. What are some of your thoughts about this one, Will Humble?
Well, this is a brand new one, and the way it's different is it just focuses on this latest circulating strain. So they dropped up until now. Well, remember in 2020, the vaccine was focused on that strain of the virus that came out of Wuhan, China, back in early 2020. That was changed when they updated the booster to include both the Omicron variant, and then they still had that old Wuhan strain in it. The new ones that are in the pharmacies right now are just solely focused on the newest Omicron variant. So it, at least for now, should be, quite protective against infection and certainly hospitalization. It does focus solely on the newest circulating strain.
Yeah, so presumably we'll get some better protection with this one for these latest strains. Real quickly, Will, I thought this was important. These 10 drugs that are up for negotiation under Medicare, these are very commonly used drugs. What are we talking about, and how soon could that kick in?
Well, this is so Medicare can finally start negotiating the prices of a handful of drugs. And so it helped the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has picked out the 10 drugs that they want to be able to, they can only negotiate the price of 10 beginning in 2026. So they've started negotiations for a list of 10 different drugs with those different manufacturers. And so, you know, Medicare will, you know, be benefiting from a lower cost or price for those vaccines eventually starting in 2026. In 2027, they can add 15 more drugs to the list of things they can negotiate. I mean, it's, and this is an editorial comment on my part. I mean, it's, I'm glad that Medicare can finally start negotiating the price of these drugs, but a handful of them. But quite honestly, there was much, much, much better proposal on the table that would have allowed Medicare to negotiate a list of 125 drugs right away, like in 2023. But Senator Sinema got together with the drug industry along with Senator Manchin and twisted that so that it's only 10 drugs starting in 2026.
Oh, that is really too bad. That is really too bad. That list was, as you say, over 100. Anyway, Will, we're going to have to run. We will talk to you in October. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
Okay. Will Humble from the Arizona Public Health Association. Look for his blog. Just Google his name, Will Humble. Will Humble's blog, and he's got a lot of good information. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster in the saddle as we getting riding along, right, Tom Fairbanks, doing the lariat move there behind the glass in the other room. It's the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. We love green things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It is the perfect time of year to get over there. Another couple of days of hot weather, then we are going to go into autumn and cooler weather, I hope. 13-acre site is at 3384 East River Road. Here are a couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo has all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Some beautiful things, including great Talavera pottery. When we do our telephone interviews, of which we are doing two today, our major interviews on the phone, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. I always look forward to our conversations about aviation because I'm kind of an aviation buff, having flown on, and I've kept track, since I was a little kid, over 75 different airlines. How many are still in business? Maybe, a couple handful of them. But anyway, former JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice is with us. Jeff retired after 20 years with that airline, where he flew nearly 20,000 miles, no, more than 20,000 miles, 20,000 hours of accident-free aviation, as Jeff commanded the Airbus A320 and the A321. A highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot, Jeff also worked at the Pentagon. He was an Air Force Special Weapons Officer. He now trains pilots on the Bombardier Challenger Business Jet Series. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thanks for having me.
How's that going with the Challenger and Bombardier working on that aircraft?
It's okay. it's a different type of flying. I was airline work is different than the corporate jet world. So I had to kind of like relearn a lot of the rules, not to mention I had to learn a new airplane, too, but it's going well. I've been doing this for about 7 months now, so it's coming along and teaching.
Well, if you were about 10 years younger and you might have been tempted by this offer that I just saw on Facebook from Emirates Airlines, based in the Persian Gulf, they're practically giving away the kitchen sink here to commercial airline pilots in the United States. They're desperate for folks to fly the big jets out of the Persian Gulf. I don't know if you would have ever been tempted with something like that.
Maybe before I got into the airline world and didn't realize and was ignorant of how other airlines operate, there are definitely differences in their personnel management between U.S. Most U.S. major carriers are unionized.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. And when you're flying for Emirates, it's not, God, how can I say it? You have less control over your quality of life, should I say.
Yeah, I think we can connect the dots there. They might have you working pretty long, long hours, right?
Yeah, they still have the same kind of requirements for hours,
okay,
that are very similar to U.S. requirements. The problem is just the management itself.
Yeah.
You got to realize you are working in another country for another country's business. They can do things that they can't do here in the United States as far as work rules are concerned.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I actually know people who came from Emirates that came to JetBlue.
Yeah.
Even though they were captains on a 380, which is the largest commercial jetliner out there, they still came back here to be a first officer in a 320. That kind of tells you the money's good when you're flying for a company like that. You have to live there, and they usually take care of you with a house. And it's actually a fairly nice house from what I understand.
Yeah.
And they pay actually fairly well. They give you a couple of months off every year, but you still have to be over there.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Being in, I don't know, it didn't appeal to me after I got into the business. I actually had an offer to go over there. And just talking to people who'd been there, they were like, dude, stay here.
Let's pick up on, you know, that report was pretty darn good from the front lines of Ukraine on the Eastern Front last night on the NewsHour on PBS. Man alive, they are really, they're rationing shells, artillery shells, Jeff, on the on the Ukrainian side. And the Ukrainians are saying the Russians don't really have that much supply either. I'm telling you, this offensive, it seems like a really big disappointment. What I mean, capturing a village here or there, and the deaths from the this incredible minefield that the Russians have laid out. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, let me, you know, everybody expects when they hear, okay, the Ukrainians are going to do a counteroffensive, and we have this mindset as Americans on how our military would actually do it. And when we do a counteroffensive, let's just use Desert Storm, going from Desert Shield to Desert Storm, it happened very quickly. But we have so much more stuff that we can employ that it does happen quickly, especially when you're combating an inferior force. Yet the Ukrainians, who have limited supply and manpower, they're outgunned by about 10 to 1.
Yeah.
And we kind of expect them, because they have all this great American stuff and European equipment, that I think Americans kind of expect it to be like an American-operated war, and it's not. They are very limited on not only, like you're saying, their rationing, their munitions. They really have no air support.
No.
They do fly a little bit, but it's nothing like how the United States would operate. And without that, you can't take out the supply chains behind lines.
No.
And that allows the Russians to bring their equipment and ammunition forward, whereas if we were fighting this war, we would have cut those supply lines down by blowing up bridges and depots and things like that with deep air support, sending in your bombers and deep strike. They can't do that. So the offensive is going to be slower because it's more of a slugfest.
Yeah.
And they have Ukrainians training in F-16s right now as we speak. As well as, I think today, or might have been this week, they're getting M1s.
Hmm.
They're only getting 21 M1s. So I'm not, you know, it's made a lot of news. That's the M1 tank, Abrams tank. It is a very good tank. Let's not, you know, try to downgrade that capability, but only 21 of them.
Yeah.
So wow. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of fast movement. However, I did hear that they're about ready to have a big push because they've gotten through those minefields. They need things to take out Russian equipment behind lines. That's why they want the ATACMS as well. The ATACMS is a surface-to-surface missile that has an extremely long range. It's not a cruise missile, but it's very accurate. And we'll be able to take out some of those headquarters and like I say, depot-type stuff behind lines, gasoline, ammo, that type of equipment.
It seems like their Air Force right now are drones at the front lines anyway.
Well, I tell you, we have learned a lot from this, shall I say, the smaller drone warfare.
Yeah.
It's having a huge effect. And I guarantee you, future wars, we're going to see a lot more of that, and maybe at the platoon level. So you'll have, you know, Army platoons out there with their own little Air Force in drones that they might be able to operate autonomously, So, yeah, this opens up a whole new realm of military strategy and tactics and thinking on how do you deal with these small drones now. So it's interesting. I'm finding it fascinating, actually.
Well, they actually they showed in the report last night on PBS the drone that the Ukrainians sent over to a Russian foxhole, and they just blew up the foxhole.
Yeah, they just kind of fly over and hover, and then they have like a little string attached to a bomb and like a grenade, and it falls off the little drone.
Yeah, so this is different.
But yeah, the last time I was on your show, we talked about cluster munitions because they had basically released cluster munitions that we weren't going to use anymore. The Ukrainians wanted it, and we're sending them over. They're basically breaking down some of those munitions to take the bomblets out of the bombs and stick them on the drones.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that they're doing. So those little bomblets are more optimized than the homemade explosives that they're using. So, yeah, they're being very ingenious on how they're operating and how they're applying their equipment. So, like I say, this is fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be a new chapter when folks are studying warfare. Now this drone element. Jeff, stick around. Stick around, Jeff. We've got another segment with you. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I actually see a 40-degree reading in the Silver City forecast. So, yeah, fall is coming. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a 3-hour drive east of Tucson next Tuesday. In fact, upper 40s for the low. So, yes, the change of season, once we get through these next, the never-ending summer, 100-plus degree weather, we're going to get some cooler weather here in the Southwest. Be a perfect time of year to take a trip over to Silver City. It's a great part of the Land of Enchantment, the southwestern corner there. Their elevation is 5,000 to 7,000 feet, and that just says it all. It's going to be cooler. Beautiful. Warm days, cool nights this time of year. The website to check out, southwestnewmexico.org, for your planning purposes. And then jump on the motorcycle, pile in the car or the truck, and take off. Jeff Lattice is with us, retired JetBlue captain, who is now very much engaged with training pilots on the business end of the aviation industry with Bombardier's Challenger Business Jet Series. Jeff, I see here United, Southwest, and Virgin Australia, to name a few, three airlines, are reporting that they have encountered bogus, in other words, counterfeit parts in two engine areas. That's kind of scary, Jeff Lattice. Is this something kind of new, or what are we dealing with here?
Yeah, I think it's pretty new. I hope it's new. It's definitely new to know that this is going on. And from what I read, it's a company in England, and they basically made their parts and falsified the documents on it. And, there's a question if the quality of, like, the metallurgy and such is meet standards. And that's the reason why there's about 100 airplanes, I want to say, that are affected right now here in the United States. Obviously, those will be all inspected and new parts will be put in. But you could see delays. I don't think it's going to impact it that much because it's spread out. You could see delays. There's another engine problem, too, going on out there, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, and it deals with Raytheon.
Huh.
Raytheon makes parts for Pratt & Whitney engines.
Yes.
And there was a recall of these engines. They're the new engines for Airbuses.
Mm.
So it's the Neo engines that Pratt & Whitney makes. General Electric also makes an engine for those airplanes, but it's the Pratt & Whitney one. And they had to recall all those engines back.
Wow.
That's probably going to have a larger impact, especially if you're looking at long-range, single-aisle type airplanes. So between the two of these problems, it affects like the Airbus 320s, 321s, 737s. So it's that the type of airplane that you more likely take if you're flying domestically.
Yeah, the Neo, that Neo airline or the Neo plane is being used widespread now.
Yeah, and it's a good engine. I'm not sure what parts it is. It really brought the Raytheon stock down, so it kind of hurt the stock. Yeah. And it was the engine problem that did that. But once again, it'll get worked through. But yeah, between the falsified parts and this problem, it might not have as big of an impact as it would in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Flying goes down in October. So it might be a good time to have these problems.
Well, it's just, what kind of a business? That's so dishonest. Not only is it dishonest with these counterfeit parts, why do anything like that? I mean, you're jeopardizing people's lives. That is really ridiculous.
Greed. All
greed.
About greed.
Greed.
And you got to remember that airplane parts are probably 10 times more expensive than a part on your car.
Really?
And it's because of the standards. The tolerances are so fine. If you want airplanes basically use 12-volt batteries just like you would have in your car. They're very similar in certain cases. I guarantee you those batteries are not the same price. You know, just because they have to go through so much more rigorous inspections and the tolerances and are so fine, you know. And I wish I knew what these parts were. I think they were what they call stator vanes, and they are, think of the moving part of an engine. You got the fan and the compressors, and they all look like kind of a fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
The stator vanes are static inside the engine, but they look very similar to like a fan blade or a compressor blade.
Mm.
And they basically will change the angle to allow the airflow to come down the engine optimally.
Yeah.
So they move. Okay. And those are the things I believe that were fake.
Doesn't sound like a good part to be fake. Yeah. That's pretty important.
Well, most of these parts are either going to be really hard steel or they're going to be titanium, depending on if it's turbine or, you know, but they're very strong, right? Because they have a lot of pressure built up on them. So my concern would be, is the quality of metal the same? So
yeah.
Obviously, the FAA says it doesn't matter. You're going to replace them and put the legitimate parts in. You know, and they've identified, they know which airplanes they are. So if your audience is worried about this,
yeah,
don't be, because those airplanes have been taken off the schedules. They're being fixed as we speak. A lot of that stuff is tracked to very fine degree, the accounting on parts and pieces. And probably the same thing with those engines that are affected by Raytheon. They've been all pulled aside and inspected. I don't know if they're allowed to fly. The FAA might allow those to fly, mm-hmm. depending on the situation, and I'm not too sure, but obviously those engines have to be inspected for the Raytheon.
All right, Jeff, I've only got a minute with you. If we have a federal government shutdown Saturday, is there an impact on aviation? Will things slow down a little bit, in your opinion?
Yes.
They will?
Probably.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that, you might have trouble going through security. It depends on what TSA is going to do.
Uh-huh.
Those people will not get paid. They're not considered essential. Why, I don't know. So they're not going to get paid, but they're going to make them come to work anyway.
Oh, boy.
And the last couple of times that this happened, they had sick outs where about half the people would show up.
Oh, boy.
So you can maybe see something similar where security might be a little tougher to get through.
Yeah.
Air traffic control, I don't know if those – it all depends on if they've been declared essential workers or not. There has been times during previous shutdowns where air traffic controllers were not considered essential.
Hmm.
If that's the case, you can probably see the same type of thing where they won't come to where they'll have a kind of an organized don't come to work kind of thing.
Yeah, yep.
Where only part of them will come into work. You will have delays in the air. So, yeah, at this point would anticipate some delay.
All right, Jeff, we will let you get back to work with the Bombardier Challenger. Always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks, Jeff Lattice.
You bet. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
All right. On behalf of Captain Lattice, Tom on the other side of the glass, this is Bill, hoping everybody has a great afternoon.